Hello and welcome again to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Washing Word. You can find out all you want to know about this business, the Washing Word, by going to our website. That's washingword.com. Wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can discover all about this business and about this ministry. We are a hand car washing business located in Churchill in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W. And there we hand wash your car, and you can listen to these messages on 107.1 FM. They play on a loop during open business hours, and you can just they transmit as far as the parking lot, and you're welcome to listen to them there or at the website. Let's get back into our study, because this is a verse-by-verse Bible study ministry, not a commercial for the Wash and Word hand car washing business. Getting back into our scripture, we find ourselves in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and Jesus has gone back to Bethany to recline with some of his old friends, and there we see Mary come in, and she wipes his feet with her hair, and after pouring this expensive perfume. In fact, not only did she just come in and pour perfume on Jesus' feet to anoint him, but she essentially gave Jesus everything that she owned. In fact, as we'll read in a few minutes, this was a year's wages worth of perfume. And for a woman like this in this day and time, it was probably a lifetime of savings. And by doing this act, she was essentially saying to Jesus, "Lord, I give you everything that I own, and I give you everything that I am." Everything that she owned was poured out. That would be the equivalent of you going to your bank and taking out your entire life savings, cashing in your 401k and all of your stocks, selling your furniture, your house, your cars, and then giving that all to Jesus, and then going to be a missionary somewhere. It's everything you own, and it's everything that you are. And this isn't a sales pitch for giving, because there's no tithing associated with my ministry. There's no giving here. You can support us by doing one of two things. Come by the Washing Word. Let us work to earn our income. Or you can tell others about it. And that's all we ask. You know, we want the Word of God to go out in a verse-by-verse format. We don't want to sell it. We're not here to peddle the Word of God. We're here to settle the Word of God. And unlike Mary, you can give all of your material things that you own to Jesus and still keep your own life. Mary, having literally poured out all of her material things, she looks around for something else to give him. And there's no towel. There's no basin, there's no napkins or a loofah. All she has left is what is part of her hair. And she gave Jesus everything she owned, and then, with the only thing she had left, she wiped it down with her own hair. Think, let that sink in for just a minute. I encourage you today, take everything that you are and everything that you own, and offer it to Jesus. Because again, the more like the Lord that you are, the closer to the Lord you will be, and the closer he will be to you. And you don't have to literally sell everything you own, but just give it to Jesus and say, "It is here for your use." If you own two cars, why not use one of them to drive around people who can't get to doctor's appointments, maybe the elderly or something to that effect. If you own furniture you're not using anymore, why not donate it to somebody? Or if you have a nice house, why not open it up for a Bible fellowship? You can give your material things to Jesus without giving them away. Do you see that? And Jesus may be your savior, but until you reach this point where everything you have and everything you are belongs to Christ, he is not your Lord. Let me say that again, because I know that sounds a little bit harsh. He may be your Savior, but until you get to that point where everything you have and everything you are is offered to him, he's not your Lord. That's what him being your Lord means, that he is able to lord over everything you are and everything that you have. Lord of your life means he has rule and reign over it. My favorite offering in the Old Testament is what they call a drink offering. And that is simply where they would take a certain liquid and they would just take it, whatever jar it's in, and they would just pour it on the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And you say, well, how is that really an offering? Well, it had several different meanings to it. It was all symbolic. God doesn't need whatever liquid is in your bottle. But the act of spilling liquid on the ground, if you think about it, it is an act of surrender. It's an act of defeat, an act of finality. When you pour something out of a jar and it completely empties onto the ground, there's no going back. You're not going to be able to get it back up off the ground. The jar is completely emptied. It is a final act. It is doing something that cannot be taken back. And that is what a drink offering is. It signifies to the Lord. One of the actual founding scriptures of this entire ministry, for me as on a personal level, and I'll share this with you as part of my testimony, in 2 Timothy 4:6 says, this is Paul speaking, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and my time has come for my departure. Paul is saying that I've given all that I have. It is time. I have poured my life out as a drink offering. And this scripture has kind of altered my midlife crisis, if you will. And I thank God that my midlife crisis was quitting a good job with good benefits and good pay and good money, driving a truck for FedEx, and quitting that to start this obscure hand car washing business in Church Hill for the sake of getting God's word out there in a very unique and interesting way. And you're listening to that unique way now. And getting back to my part of my testimony and how God has transformed me in my quote-unquote midlife crisis, I went from thinking, you know, all of this stuff that I have with this good job and this good future means nothing to me if I'm not doing what I feel like God has called me to do. And simply put, God has called me to take his word in a verse-by-verse format and to expound upon it and to make it and to put it in a way that hopefully and prayerfully is understandable and applicable to your life. And by doing that, God gave me this scripture that why should I go through the rest of my good years? I may have 15 or 20 left at 50 now. Why should I just spend those doing something else and, you know, living for my future and my retirement when I should be pouring myself back out into the community? I should be pouring myself back out into God's word. I should be a drink offering for the Lord. I shouldn't be focused so much on what I want to do in my future. And yes, I know I need to plan for my family and savings and all that stuff, but my 401k is the Lord God Almighty. My savings account is giving my life over to God and doing what I feel he's called me to do. And I want to pour myself out like a drink offering. So when I get to the end of my life, like Paul, I can be able to say, I had nothing left because I gave it all out for the sake of the gospel. And friends, I just ask you that maybe it's time to self-analyze your life and think about some of the things you could give up, or better yet, give over to Christ to control your life. And I think about that job that I quit at FedEx. It was tearing my knees apart, up and down 100 times a day out of that seat. It was starting to ruin my knees, and my knees were starting to go bad. And I used to wire houses down in Florida for a living, and going up and down that ladder, I would wear out my knees when I was a younger man. And now now I'm doing this, and maybe my eyes are starting to go, and my shoulders are starting to hurt. You know, it doesn't matter for me, because I would rather go blind preparing for sermons than have bad knees making more money. But getting back to this anointing that we're looking at here, how did Mary know it was time? Well, she, even though that Jesus had come to Jerusalem before, how did she know that this was Jesus' final time? And I'm going to answer that question on a spiritual level. And that answer to the question, how did she know this was Jesus' final time? He didn't announce it. He was just there having fun. But she came in and anointed him as though to prepare him for his death. And the answer is this. There is an unexplainable knowledge that accompanies truly devoted men and women of God. It's really that simple. And yeah, I'm gonna play the it's beyond our understanding card. Because that's the answer to the question. There is an unexplainable knowledge that accompanies truly devoted men and women of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is the benefit of having the Spirit in you. It gives you knowledge that you are otherwise unaware and unable to receive. But listen, how she knew that this was Jesus's time wasn't as important as what she did with that knowledge. Obviously, the Spirit gave her the knowledge, and what she did with it was far more important than how she received it. And when you self-reflect on your life, it's almost a guarantee that it's going to cause you to take an inventory of what you do with your time for the Lord. And with that, let's go to our second of the four things we're going to look at in this chapter. The first was anointing. We're still going to look at, now we're going to look at an objecting. So first there was an anointing, now there's an objecting, and later we'll look at the rebuking and the gathering. So let's look at the objection. Verse 4, chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And so here we see an objection by Judas Iscariot. And there's actually some teaching going around, which I actually kind of adhered to for a long time, that there was questions as to the motive of Judas Iscariot when betraying Jesus. And that is that maybe he was doing it just to try to get Jesus' name out there more. Or maybe he betrayed him because he thought that the Pharisees truly wanted to, elevate him. Whatever the reason for justifying the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, here we see that obviously betraying Jesus for the pure motive of profit is, it's clarified. He was already stealing. He was already taking things out of the treasury. And there was no regard for the name of Jesus and the gospel being spread. He was a thief, pure and simple. But he is the one who is representing the objection here. So in terms of application, which is one of my main focuses of doing these Bible teachings, is to give you application. Here is a spiritual monster application, a big doozy. You ready for this one? Sin leads to sin. Yeah, I know. Doesn't sound very deep, but think about it for a minute. Sin leads to sin. So contemplate that. Don't try to rationalize it or entertain sin in your mind. Don't play it out in your mind, because sin is always going to lead to more sin. When you look at a pretty woman, if you're a guy, and you lust after them, Jesus says you have sinned. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we are to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I'm going to wind down with that and leave that in your mind for till our next teaching. And we'll continue talking about the objection of Judas here. But remember, sin leads to more sin. If you start in your mind, it's just going to continue to turn into a mature thought. And then that mature thought will turn into an action. You know, you start by listening to rock and roll. And next thing you know, you're playing lead guitar in a rock heavy metal band. You know, one beer leads to alcoholism. And alcoholism, you know, that doesn't just happen overnight. It's something that takes time to get into. So don't rationalize or entertain or play out those bad thoughts in your mind. Take them, give them to Christ, make every thought captive to him. And we'll pick it up there tomorrow. We encourage you to come by thewashandword.com or the Wash and Word building And you can listen to these messages on a loop on 107.1 FM in the parking lot, or go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Have a blessed day.